Chapter 3. The Game from Queer Ditch Marsh. We owe our knowledge of the rude beginnings of Quidditch to the writings of the witch Gertie Kettle, who lived on the edge of Queer Ditch Marsh in the 11th century. Fortunately for us, she kept a diary, now in the Museum of Quidditch in London. The excerpts below have been translated from the badly spelled Saxon of the original.
Tuesday. Hot. That lot from across the marsh have been at it again, playing a stupid game on their broomsticks. A big leather ball landed in my cabbages. I hexed the man who came for it. I'd like to see him fly with his knees on back to front, the great hairy hog. Tuesday. Wet. Was out on the marsh picking nettles. Broomstick idiots playing again. Watched for a bit from behind a rock. They've got a new ball, throwing it to each other and trying to stick it in trees at either end of the marsh. Pointless rubbish. Tuesday. Windy. Gwenog came for nettle tea, then invited me out for a treat. Ended up watching those numbskulls playing their game on the marsh. That big Scottish warlock from up the hill was there. Now they've got two big heavy rocks flying around, trying to knock them all off their brooms. Unfortunately, didn't happen while I was watching. Gwenog told me she often played herself. Went home in disgust.
These extracts reveal much more than Gertie Kettle could have guessed, quite apart from the fact that she only knew the name of one of the days of the week. Firstly, the ball that landed in her cabbage patch was made of leather, as is the modern quaffle. Naturally, the inflated bladder used in other broom games of the period would be difficult to throw accurately, particularly in windy conditions. Secondly, Gertie tells us that the men were
trying to stick it in trees at either end of the marsh,
apparently an early form of goal scoring. Thirdly, she gives us a glimpse of the forerunners of bludgers. It is immensely interesting that there was a
big Scottish warlock present.
Could he have been a Craokian player? Was it his idea to bewitch heavy rocks to zoom dangerously around the pitch, inspired by the boulders used in his native game? We find no further mention of the sport played on Queer Ditch Marsh until a century later, when the wizard Goodwin Neen took up his quill to write to his Norwegian cousin Olaf. Neen lived in Yorkshire, which demonstrates the spread of the sport throughout Britain in the 100 years after Gertie Kettle first witnessed it. Neen's letter is deposited in the archives of the Norwegian Ministry of Magic.
Dear Olaf, how are you? I am well, though Gunhilda has got a touch of dragonpox. We enjoyed a spirited game of Quidditch last Saturday night, though poor Gunhilda was not up to playing catcher, and we had to use Rodolf the blacksmith instead. The team from Ilkley played well, though was no match for us, for we had been practicing hard all month and scored 42 times. Rodolf got a bludder in the head because old Uga wasn't quick enough with his club. The new scoring barrels worked well. 3 at each end on stilts. Una from the inn gave us them. She let us have free mead all night because we won as well. Gunhilda was a bit angry I got back so late. I had to duck a couple of nasty jinxes, but I've got my fingers back now. I'm sending this with the best owl I've got. Hope he makes it. Your cousin Goodwin.
Here we see how far the game has progressed in a century. Goodwin's wife was to have played catcher, probably the old term for chaser. The bludger, undoubtedly bludger, that hit Rodolf the blacksmith should have been fended off by Uga, who was obviously playing beater, as he was carrying a club. The goals are no longer trees, but barrels on stilts. One crucial element in the game was still missing, however. The golden snitch. The addition of the 4th Quidditch ball did not occur until the middle of the 13th century, and it came about in a curious manner.